tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Tell the world about you, 'cause I can't live without you. When he's falling, to know you
Hope Show listeners, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a great week. We serve an amazing God, don't we? He is so good to each of us. He blesses us in so many ways. At this time, I will share the three blessings that He has given me this week. At one point this week, I foolishly allowed my vehicle to get too low on gas. The low fuel light came on, and as this is a new vehicle to me, I had not allowed the gas to get so low before, and I had no idea how many miles I could drive on a low fuel sign. I was nowhere near a gas station, and I didn't have any money on me at the time. I began to pray that I would make it home safely. God provided, and I got home safely without running out of gas, but I did learn that you can at least drive 9 miles on a low fuel light. So anyway, praise God for that. I won't be doing that again. Number two, as you all know, we have been in the process of getting a new roof on our house. It has rained a few more days this week, and the ceiling has finally sprung several leaks. That was a first. But we have a tarp over it, and so far, the ceiling is hanging in there. So anyway, praise God for that also. And number three, I put 400 miles on my Jeep in 3 days, going to see my mom and taking her for a surprise birthday get-together with her sister, whom she hasn't seen in years. And praise God, I had safe traveling mercies while I was gone, despite a lot of rain and some flooding over the roads and a few detours. Praise God, we got everywhere we needed to be. I challenge you to think about three blessings you have received since last week. Today we will begin part 3 of The Armor of God. As I have mentioned before, this mini-series is based off the Bible study from Priscilla Shire. It is a very good Bible study, and each time I read through the Bible study on it and I look through the notes that I took, I just get more and more from it. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and the armor of God comes from Ephesians 6:10-19. Last week we talked about the belt of truth. This week, we are going to be talking about the breastplate of righteousness. I want to take a moment to refresh each of you about what the purpose of the breastplate is. A breastplate was worn over your torso to protect your heart and other vital organs when the soldiers were at war. And in this message, you will see how it works much in the same way today, to help shield us from danger. The first week of this miniseries, we learned how to size up our enemy, what the pieces of the armor of God are, and how each one of them work together in harmony to keep balance in our lives. The second week, we learned about the importance of putting on the belt of truth. We learned from the first two messages that the devil is very real, and he disguises himself as anything that you desire, and tries to get you to bypass God altogether to get the desires of your heart. The devil tries to make almost right seem like it is right. It is our job to undisguise him and expose him for what he really is, and he is a liar, folks. And this week we will learn why the breastplate is just as equally important to us as the belt of truth. If you have missed out on the last two messages, I would strongly encourage you to go to shaziz.net, go up to the left-hand corner of the screen to the menu icon, click on that, scroll to the podcast, click on that, and scroll down to the most recent message of The Hope Show Returns, Part 2 of The Armor of God, and listen to it so that you will get caught up with us. And so at this time, I would like for all of us to bow our heads in prayer before beginning this week's message. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We understand that we are nothing and can do nothing without you. We come before you today wanting to thank you for every blessing you see fit to bestow on us. Thank you for the fresh, brand new grace, mercy, forgiveness, and unconditional love you offer us every new day. We can do nothing to earn it because of our sinful nature, and yet you so freely give it to us anyway. Dear Heavenly Father, assist us in putting on the full armor of God each day, so that we can stand firm against the devil's evil plans for us. We know, for your word tells us, that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness around us, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Help keep our minds sharp and alert, vigilant. Keep us awake and let us not fall into slumber, lest the devil make his attack on us. Dear Heavenly Father, we know, because you have promised us, that we are never alone, and you are always beside us. Thank you for your deep, deep love for each of us, that you do not want to see even one of your children to perish. Dear Heavenly Father, please use me today to be a vessel to get your message out to all of your children. If there is someone who needs to hear this miniseries, may your message reach their ears and their heart. I pray that their eyes, ears, and heart would be softened and opened to what you want each of your children to receive today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen. Thank you for all for joining me in a moment of prayer, so let's begin. I'm going to jump right in. Let me first tell you that unrighteous living is the devil's invitation to enter our lives. Righteous living, righteous living is living a life that is standing upright, and it aligns with God's standards of living for us. It aligns with all of God's expectations for us. The devil's goal is to derail your righteous behavior from its tracks and away from God's truth. In order to be righteous, we must first be pure of heart. You might think, when you hear this, that if that is the case, then you've already lost the battle. Nobody can live up to that. That is not true. Having a pure heart is a purposeful choice, folks. If we have accepted God's salvation and we are trying to do everything in our power to walk an upright life pleasing to God, not intentionally doing anything outside of God's standard for living, then we are working with a pure heart. We must always, always stay in prayer and ask God to guide us in making right choices so we can stay pure of heart. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you, allowing you to do what you cannot do in your own power. Sanctification, salvation, is the process by which you are molded by the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus Christ. Righteousness is not manufactured. It is released. For you see, the Holy Spirit's job is to chip away at anything that does not resemble Jesus. Your heart is at the center of this, and you should strive to be holy every day. This is how you keep your pure heart. Your conscience is the microphone by which the Holy Spirit comes to you and allows you to hear the voice of God in your life. Righteousness is a state of moral perfection required by God. Friends, the heart is the most vital organ in the whole body. The heart's job is to beat, dispersing blood through your veins and arteries, picking up oxygen and other nutrients, turning it into raw energy. If your heart is weak, it causes a ripple effect on your whole system. Without a strong heart, the body will cease to function properly. Your heart is the number one most important thing to your living. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible tells us, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." As the physical heart keeps us physically alive, our spiritual heart keeps us aligned with God, or becomes depleted and lost for eternity. Either way, physically or spiritually, the heart is our life breath. It is of the utmost of importance. Why do you think it's so important to guard your heart? This is because the heart can be pure or evil. Whatever we think, we become. If we are not careful, our hearts can easily be swayed toward the worldly ways. Living righteous and in the Holy Spirit is the only way to victory in every circumstance. It is amazing how things change in your mind when you know and you realize what the devil is trying to do to you, and that your mind really is a battlefield. Knowledge is power. Satan can form weapons against us, but God will not let them prosper. In Romans 8:31, the Bible tells us, "We are more than conquerors. If God is for us, then who can be against us?" How would you explain virtuous living? Right conduct is applying the truth of God to your standard of living and following through with the rest of the days of your life. You have to know the truth first, to know what is expected next. The only way you will know the truth is to study it each and every day and pray on it. Friends, we cannot wait for disaster to happen and then start praying about it. We have to be in study and prayer in advance, and thank Him in advance for the victories over our battles. Have any of you ever watched the movie called War Room? If you haven't, you are truly missing out. It is an amazing movie, and you will be blessed by it. I won't go into a great amount of detail about this movie in case some of you have not yet watched it. But in this movie, the main characters are this family, made up of a man and a woman with their children. They are having family issues. The wife befriends an elderly woman who has lost her husband. She is quite wise in the ways of the Lord. The elderly woman begins to mentor to this wife, and big changes start to happen. Anyway, in this movie, it mentions having a war room in your house. So what does that mean? It means to set aside one room of your house, specifically for going into and fighting your battles against the devil. It does not have to be a big room. It can be a closet. It can be a garage. It can be anything. Something just turned into a tiny room. But the point behind it is to have your very own space in your house, that when you go in there, that this is your private space. And you go in there for studying the Word, learning the truth, praying and fighting off the devil. And this is the only thing that this room is used for. No one else is allowed. No distractions. I believe that everyone should have a war room in their house. You may be wondering how all of this connects with each other to bring harmony and balance. What is the difference between truth and righteousness? Let me say this. While a lifestyle of a person wearing the belt of truth affirms God's standard, a person who puts on the breastplate of righteousness aligns their life to it. If you have the knowledge of God, If you have the truth, then you can better understand how the devil operates and be less likely to fall for his lies. I want to give you an example of how easily the devil can enter into our lives and take over. So let's say, for example, you decide to go on vacation. You had some bananas laying on your kitchen counter and you forgot all about them before leaving. A week later, you come back to a kitchen and it's full of fruit flies. You didn't invite the fruit flies to enter your kitchen, but you did set the environment to which they just invited themselves. The environment that you created, quite unintentionally, was all the invitation they needed to invade your kitchen. It's as easy as that, folks. That's just how fast things can get out of control. The devil takes every opportunity set before him to push his way into our lives, and living an unrighteous lifestyle is all the invitation that the devil needs to send his minions out to do his dirty work in your life. Let's not make it so easy for him, right? Can I get an amen? When we let our guard down, it leaves the door wide open, puts the welcome sign out front, and the devil walks right in and helps himself to our life. The Bible is quite clear on this matter. In James 4:17, it tells us, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Friends, the heart and the mind are the devil's primary target areas. Our bodies are made up of three distinct parts: body, which allows us to relate to the physical world; spirit, this allows us to relate to God; and soul, this allows us to relate to ourselves. Our soul is what makes us unique. It's our personality. Our soul is created with four important factors in mind. The mind, which is your thoughts; the will, which is your ambition; your emotions, which are your feelings; and your conscience, which is our moral compass. Our heart is at the center of all of that in our body. Our soul is what moves and guides us, navigates us through life. The devil will target every area of your life. And if you don't believe it, then watch it happen for yourself. Pay close attention to what is going on around you. Do you see a chaotic lifestyle or a peaceful lifestyle? He preys on your mind by distorting your thinking with lies about God. He tries to redirect your ambitions away from the eternal, godly purposes, instead trying to lure you toward interests that are temporal, things that only last for a short while, and they are directly opposed to the will of God. The devil works on your emotions by playing with your emotions. If you allow your emotions to run away unguarded, then the devil will enter your mind, and before you know it, you are angry, discouraged, feeling vengeful or sad or something. This has a crippling effect on your emotions, rendering you unstable to make wise choices. Your conscience will be influenced and it will be steered away from what lines up with God's truth. So you see, it is very important for each of us to be on guard at all times. If we choose to be rebellious toward God, we leave ourselves wide open for the devil's attacks. Take a moment to think about that yourself. Have you noticed the devil targeting any of those areas in your life? Have you been feeling like you're being tossed by the wind in every direction? Have you been feeling indecisive? Where has your thinking led you lately? What about your ambitions, your feelings, your conscience? Have you been having a hard time lately keeping your mind straight and making decisions? Have you found daily tasks to be very challenging lately, more so than usual? You have the devil to thank for that, folks. Give yourself a checkup. Step back, regroup, breathe, get reconnected with God. Are you making right choices? Is your lifestyle aligned with the truth of the Word of God? If not, then that's probably most of your problem. Putting on the full armor of God each day helps to prevent these things from happening. The heart and the mind are so important to your spiritual walk with God. We must purposefully decide to protect these organs daily. Ask God to reveal any area of your life that is spoiled, that is not producing good fruit. Then confess it and repent of it. This will diffuse the devil's accusations. Friends, sometimes we just have to do a clean sweep of God's temple, our bodies. Our standard of living should be the standard of living that God purposes for us. God wants perfect righteousness. God is perfect. I know that sounds like an absolute impossibility. And yes, left to do things on our own, it is impossible. But through God, all things are possible. In Romans 3:23, we are reminded, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even the most good-natured person with the very best of intentions, on their very best day, falls short of God's expectations. I don't mean for that to sound hopeless, because it's meant to be a reminder that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are from, how rich or poor you are, God is still working on each and every one of us. We will always, always, always be a work in progress. And that's okay, just so long as we keep moving forward and doing our very best to lead a lifestyle pleasing and aligned with God. There is always hope, friends, and that is found in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even in that, the devil can distort what is meant for our good by trying to make it sound to us as if we have to chase perfectionism. In this scenario, we must be very careful that we aren't chasing the wrong things and putting other things in our lives before God. For example, people might turn to money, fame, and fortune, turning away from right to do what they want and trying to justify their deeds to make them sound right. But don't forget, folks, remember what I said earlier. Satan will twist things in your head to make almost right seem right. He is a very tricky, sneaky, sly one, and he cannot be trusted, folks. So this seems like a good place to take a short break. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. This first song is called The Fight Song.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside. I'm chasing sleep. Everybody's worried about me. In too deep. Say I'm in too deep. In too deep. Well, it's been 2 years. I miss my home. But there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe. Yeah, I still believe. None of those things I didn't say. Wrecking balls inside my brain. I was screaming.
My fight song, take back my life song, prove them all right song. My power's turned up, starting right now, I'll be strong.
into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life. Out of violence.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I am so happy each of you have decided to listen in. If you are just tuning in, we are on part 3 of the mini-series of The Armor of God. After each of the messages, later on in the day, you can go to shaziz.net to find the podcast of each message. I encourage you to do so. If you hear something that you like, or a certain person might come to mind while you're listening, then please, by all means, share with your friends and family. Friends, there are a lot of souls to save in this world, so we need to be doing our part in making that happen. One of those ways is by trying to get the Word of God out to as many people across the nation as we possibly can. Let's make a vow to never leave any man, woman, or child behind. Before the break, we were talking about sometimes things get so crazy and so confusing that you just have to make a clean sweep of our temple. And our temple is God's body. We were talking about how sometimes people can take certain messages and distort it into something completely different. For example, God is perfect. His perfect righteousness is our standard for living. His word of truth is law. But sometimes the devil can get it into our head that we have to be perfect in other ways in our lives. And then it can lead to idolatry, which is the worshiping of things instead of God. But perhaps that is not where you're getting hung up by the devil's lies. Perhaps it's in the form of comparisons for you. What does that mean? Comparative righteousness. In biblical terms, this means that you are comparing your righteousness with someone else's. Comparison with others is never the accurate way to determine our own righteousness, because righteousness is adhering to God's perfect standard. It's a personal journey, not the standard by which your neighbor is living. And no matter how good your neighbor's behavior may seem, it is not as good as God's law. Comparing ourselves to one another is deceiving, to say the least. It also leads to our feeling discouraged, depressed, hopeless. And when we feel that others are doing better than we are comparing. And that's not what God wants us to do. We're not supposed to compare ourselves to anybody. The devil will do anything to keep you looking somewhere instead of looking to God himself. Is there anyone or a group of people that you tend to compare yourself with? Well, stop. Stop, folks. It does not matter what others are doing or what they have. They are on their own spiritual journey, and their journey is not yours. God has something specific in mind for each of us. God gives each of us specific talents, special talents, and gifts. We don't all have the same abilities to do the same things. What one may be good at, another is not. Maybe someone in the listening audience is really good with scientific things. I am not. I would get utterly lost if I tried to do what Shaziz does. I wouldn't have a clue where to begin with his projects. I, on the other hand, am good at gardening, reading, problem solving, sewing, hunting, just to name a few. And yet others may not be good at these things, or even have any interest in these things. And that is okay. God made us unique for a reason. Life would be pretty boring if we were all identical in every way. God's perfect righteousness can be pretty discouraging, because we have no hope of reaching it on our own. But folks, the good news is that God is the way maker and the promise keeper. And with God, all things are possible. We just have to get it in a right relationship with Him and seek Him in all that we do. We have not because we ask not, folks. Do you realize that the cross didn't just take something from us? It gave us something miraculous back. When Jesus hung on the cross and died there for you and for I, it took away the penalty of our sin. Our sin, yours and mine, required a payment, and Jesus was that payment. Death of Jesus Christ was that payment, and for all who receive Him by faith. Have you ever thought of it that way? The cross really is the gift that keeps on giving, to you and to myself as well. When you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, the penalty of sin is removed and the gift of God's own righteousness is given to each of us. When God looks on us now, He no longer sees our humanity or our weakness or our sin. He sees you through the filter of His own Son. Friends, you don't have to strive to be perfect. You are already perfectly righteous because of Christ's gift to you on the cross. So stop driving yourself crazy and beating yourself up. The devil loves it when we treat ourselves poorly. While you are treating yourself poorly, you're not able to utilize all of God's gifts. The devil doesn't want you to rest in the fact that you are already forgiven, because as long as you do not see yourself as a righteous child of God, then you will never be able to get around putting on that breastplate that blocks the devil from attacking you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us, "The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Be encouraged, friends. God is with us. He will never leave nor forsake us. And you know what? Have you ever heard that saying, practice makes perfect? The more we stay in the Word of God, in prayer, in truth, wearing the armor of God, spending quality time with God each day, living according to God's standard for living, the more you do, the easier following God's will become. Have you ever joined a fitness class? The first week or so, you think your heart might jump from your chest, that all your limbs might fall off. You found muscles that you didn't even know existed. You're in so much pain. Maybe you're finding yourself thinking after the first day or two, is it really worth it to keep going? It feels like too much work. But folks, persistence pays off. If you really want something in life, you have to work for it. In the beginning, things are never easy, but with practice and determination, things begin to turn around. Practice makes things come together. I read somewhere, and maybe from one of Joyce Meyer's books, I just really don't remember, that it takes 21 days to break a habit. Well, I don't know about any of you, but when I read that, I thought to myself, well, there's a lot of things that I need to change. And so I was very curious by the title. And so I tried it in one area of my life. Of course, I can't really take any of the credit because God did the work in me. I just had to be willing to put in the work. Practice makes perfect applies to many areas of our lives. We work long and we work hard to perfect a skill and become very efficient at doing it. We discipline ourselves until our actions and performance are as close to perfect as possible. This principle does not always apply to every situation, though, because one of the biggest areas of our life that this can cause a problem is with our spiritual life. When we practice in pursuit of this elusive perfection, either to gain approval from God, which is completely unnecessary because we already have it, or simply to impress others, then that becomes a whole new problem, folks. Sometimes we have habits from previous ways of living that are difficult to get rid of. They feel comfortable, and they fit us so naturally, like a second nature or a second skin to us. Sometimes lifestyle choices and habits are the same. You may find that you have indulged in your old ways of living for so long that it becomes comfortable to just keep on wearing it. They are symbolic of your old life. They are out of character for your new life. Putting it off daily isn't going to be easy or fun. But by God's Spirit, you can do it. And putting off the old you does not automatically mean putting on the new you. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness means carefully selecting certain attributes that align with God's light. Getting our flesh to cooperate with our new self is quite laborious. You will most likely feel like giving up many times along your journey. And I'm not trying to speak doom and gloom here, but I'm just being honest. Even when we do experience some success in modifying our behavior, we find that we will fail in some other area. We sometimes obey God on the outside while brimming with anger, bitterness, jealousy, revenge, and disobedience on the inside. It is important for us to understand that the internal and external both matter to God. I have had a tough time in this area this past week myself, folks. Things have come up. I was angry. I said things that even shocked my own ears, that I would even think such things. And then I heard the Lord convicting me of my behavior, and I was so ashamed of myself. The tongue is sharp as a sword. And some things, no matter how bad you wish you could take something back, or even wish you hadn't even have thought of it in the first place, once the words are over the lips and out the mouth, once the thoughts have entered your mind, well, I will just leave it at that. But once again, I'm just trying to be honest. We all struggle, and the struggle is real. I'm not any different than you. God really has had to do some work on me this week, and He is still working with me. I honestly can say that this week was not one of my better weeks. Even though I have been blessed in many ways, toward the end of this week, I really have blown it. I am not proud of it. I have to admit that even as I am sitting here right now giving this message, I feel so unqualified at this time to do so. And yet, if we allow God to do so in our lives, He qualifies the unqualified. But even as I am wrestling with my own storms in life and feeling pretty low and discouraged myself right now, I know that it's Satan behind these feelings I'm experiencing. I know I just need to turn my eyes toward the heavens, toward the Lord, and set my focus there and not on this earth. I need to step back and look at the big picture. Everything is temporary. This is not our home. We are only passing through. We can't let this world get us down. I'm not perfect, folks. But even that is no excuse for my own behavior this week. Friends, I have let my guard down. God uses circumstances to teach us all new things. And here I am, giving a message on putting on the full armor of God, and lo and behold, what is the devil trying to sabotage this week for me? Yeah, you got it. Satan is trying to keep this message from happening, and he is attacking my mind and my heart. Do you remember me mentioning earlier in the show that these two areas are Satan's primary target areas? Friends, let my mess this week be the message. Friends, just realize that when things happen to you, as they have happened to me this week, that you are not alone. God is still right there alongside you with love and forgiveness if we repent. And as you jump right in there into that battle, God isn't with us every step of the way. Take courage in knowing that. Learn to welcome change. Changed behaviors as well as internal attitudes are natural outcomes of healthy growth. Friends, we will be stretched, tested, and tried. Think of it this way. If you weren't doing something right, then the devil would not be hot on your heels, right? If he already had you where he wanted you, then you would not have to work so hard to convert your... He would not have to work so hard to convert you over to the dark side. Friends, the closer you become to God, the more pressure the devil will put on you. If you want to grow in righteousness and see your life transformed from the inside out, then you must focus on your spiritual health. In James 1:21-22, the Bible tells us, "Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Friends, there will be seeds of change. God is the one who softens and prepares the soul of our hearts, allowing the implanted seed, God's word, to take root and grow. We still must make the decision, though, to receive it. We cannot merely be hearers of the word. We must be doers, too. In order to do all of this, we must really get down deep into the Word of God meditating on His Word, internalizing and memorizing what the Bible says. The Bible is our instruction manual for righteous living. If you only skim over the pages of the Bible, then you will never reap its full benefits. God's Word is the sword. He uses it to grow you up and to save your soul, but also to combat the devil's attempts to do harm to you. Think about it for a moment. Is there anything coming up this next week that you need to be prepared to do battle? How will you handle it? How will you prepare? Friends, make a battle plan before that time gets here. Don't go to the battle underdressed. Make sure your breastplate is firmly in place to provide protection to your vital organs. Be imitators of God. Walk in love. Just as Christ also loved each of us and gave Himself up for us. The old man or woman is dead and gone. You are no longer a slave to the past sins. You have been set free in Jesus and given a new life. And so right there, folks, let us go to prayer time. Dear Heavenly Father, go with each and every one of us this week. Guide us and protect us in all that we do and say. Convict us of when we do wrong, so that we can repent and move forward. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we ask for You to fill us with Your discernment, so that we will know when the devil tries to strike. Please forgive us our daily sins, and help us to forgive others as we forgive ourselves, or forgive others as You forgive us. Remind us that we are not alone. Assist us with putting on our full armor of God each morning. And we thank You in advance for our answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining me today. I look forward to meeting you all back here next week. Same time, same place. May the good Lord watch over and protect you and your family. Stay tuned in to these last two songs. This first one is God's Not Dead. And remember, folks, I love you, and I'm sending air hugs out there to all of you.
Explode and bring the I will trust you.